Hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie on this beautiful Sunday.
Hi, Julie.
Beautiful Sunday. Hi.
It's Christine Marie here.
Yes, it is.
How are you? How the heck are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing good.
Hanging
like
in there?
You said, it is a beautiful Sunday here. And it really, I think fall is almost officially here because we've actually worn jackets lately.
Well, okay.
Am I lying?
No, you're not lying. We have worn jackets lately, but it's only been the 70s.
Only because of fashion.
Yes, because you say after Labor Day, you must wear a jacket. I don't care if it's 100 degrees out.
I got to take away my white belt and white shoes.
And wear a jacket.
And wear jackets.
Well, it is a beautiful beginning of fall day. It's not fall yet, not the start of fall, but we have that in our mind. You know, June, July, August is summer, you know, and then September,
yes.
October, November
yes.
is the fall. But we're holding on, I think, to summer a little bit. It's supposed to be a beautiful week this weekend, mm-hmm. the middle of Illinois or Northern Illinois in the 70s all week long.
Yay.
And I can't wait.
Right.
And, you know, if you don't know who we are, we're Christine Marie and Julie. We're mother, daughter. I'm the daughter.
Does that mean that?
You're the mother.
Okay.
I remember interviewing an author and I showed her a picture of us and she said, "Hey, who's mother and daughter?" And I go, "Oh, ha, 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 that's so sweet." And she goes, "No, really, who's the mother and then who's the daughter?" And I thought, I didn't know who you know.
And I didn't mind that so much.
No. And it was funny because I was, quote unquote, running an errand for you. And I was not pretending to be you, but I was, you know, I had your license and so forth.
Right, right.
And then the woman just started talking to me like I was you.
Right.
And like, oh, you know, and your age.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, you know what? Give me a heaven break. Really? And so luckily I have,
good self-esteem.
I do have good self-esteem. Yes. And I've grown up knowing that my mom has always been the beauty in the household.
Aww.
And I've always been okay with
that. That's so sweet of you to say.
Well, no, I mean, I just know it's true. It's not like...
Not anymore, it ain't true, but...
That's so not true at all. I remember at my brother's wedding years ago. Now, I'm sure the photographer came up to the bride and said this to her, but he didn't say this to me, of course, but he said this to you. He goes, "My God, you photograph well." And I thought, you know, I mean, do all photographers come to the mother of the groom and saying, "Man, you photograph well."
Kind of.
Wink, no. Wink, what, as he touched your leg.
I remember one time we were at Lou Malnati's and a photographer came over and goes, "You know, do you mind if I just take your picture?" And like, but the only thing is I somehow am photogenic.
Yes.
That for whatever reason.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows
Who
why?
Who knows why?
Yeah.
That's kind of, now we're setting up a high standard here.
I know. Right? We should say this. Yeah. You're photogenic for Northern Illinois.
Yeah, exactly.
not photogenic for
East Hollywood or whatever.
Yeah, West Hollywood or East. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. You're an au naturel kind of girl.
That's right. I'm the cheerleader.
Yeah.
I'm the homecoming queen.
And, you know, okay. And who else are we here besides mother and daughter?
What are
we? You know, we're also coaches.
Yes.
You're a certified, we're certified life coaches, but you're also a
psychotherapist. Yes.
And certifications in also addiction therapy and grief counseling and just
self-esteem elevation.
Yeah. I'm an educator as well as getting my master's, raise the roof.
Number one best-selling authors on Amazon.
On the Clutterfly Effect.
Tweak your way to total transformation decluttering your life. Julie, are we decluttering our lives?
We do that all the time because as soon as
it's
you add
continual.
Something,
I know.
You need to take something away.
I know.
I remember the one thing I learned from my brother is decluttering. I remember after his divorce for about, I would say 6 weeks to maybe like 4 months. I don't know, somewhere in there. He lived in his car.
Exactly right. And he did a better job of it.
Yeah, a little
I remember
bigger car.
We went to meet him one time, you know, someplace. He was in his car. We were in our van. And his car was immaculate.
Yes.
And he was living out of it.
And then we had to bring him
something.
Yeah.
And we opened the door to our van and like crap fell out.
Yeah.
I was like, oops.
Oops.
That was a little embarrassing.
And he just said, "If I put something in my van, I must take one thing out."
Right.
And that is the only way I can have a symbiotic relationship with my van right now.
Right.
He was thriving during that time.
He did thrive.
And, you know, in some ways, he needed.
You know, you
to be
think
there.
About the, those kind of times in your life that you can be.
Yes.
That you can be that mobile and that, like, just down to the wire with yeah. stuff.
Well, he needed it because yeah. he couldn't think about anything but, I'm getting divorced.
Right.
I have to get out of this house. Right. I have to then figure out what to do next.
Well, it was part of his dastardly plan
yes,
as well.
Yes, it was.
First, he gained like 60 pounds. Mm-hmm. Then he lived in his car.
Well, and the reason it was a dastardly plan, because his ex-wife just was kind of moving on, but kind of having his grips. And then he needed to be as unattractive as possible.
Yeah, those tentacles were pretty long.
So
yeah.
that she would go, this is, what am I doing?
Snap out of it,
and
girl.
She, you know what? She found someone that was perfect for her.
Yeah.
You know, I'm assuming. I don't know. And he found someone that was perfect for him.
That's
and
right.
life is good again. So,
yes,
but he needed
well.
Those. He needed that 4 months of just regrouping. And decluttering. Sometimes
yes.
decluttering is really needed.
You declutter physically, you declutter mentally, you declutter emotionally.
Yes.
You really declutter.
And so on our Sunday night shows, we typically let it all hang out. And sometimes we tell a little too much information.
TMI.
Last week, I got a text and said, hey, a friend of mine just heard your podcast. I tell a lot about your personal life, girlfriend.
No kidding.
I go, okay, no problem.
Oh.
I thought that was great. I don't have a problem with it. I feel...
Well, that's who we are.
That's who we are.
Well, this is life with the girlfriends.
Right, but we learn from what's really going on.
Right.
And today what we're going to talk about, we usually divide our show into three parts. The first 15, 20 minutes, a little longer depending on if we have to, you know, get some stuff off our chest. It's really about the week that just, you know, that passed and
right.
what we learned. Because
right.
we can take what we're doing right now, tweaking it to make it a little bit better.
Right.
Then
or we can just go unconscious into that great good night and just not learn anything.
Right. And then we have our little section called Elliot's Corner, which is where we talk about animals and usually our dog Elliot and what we can learn from them. And we've got this idea about Elliot's Corner because I was watching the Oprah show. And she was interviewing Shirley MacLaine, and somehow it came up, goes, you can learn everything you need to learn about life through your pets. And that is true.
It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true.
And then finally, we have Pillar Talk at the end, where we do a little more
pillar
formal coaching.
Talk.
Yes. To grab those nuggets out. And we always like to have fun on Sunday nights, because mm-hmm. if we're not fun, life gets hard. Why not?
Yes.
Why not have it be a little fun?
Can I make a... Can we talk just a wee bit about where we were on this day 15 years ago?
Yes, but just one more thing before we talk about that.
Sure.
I just want to say right now with Pillar Talk this week, we're going to really dive deep into emotional health. Because
good.
We've had some people come up to us this week in our inner circle, or a little,
right.
you know,
yeah.
that are struggling. And then I heard it on the radio, people really struggling.
There's
with
a lot
anxiety
of people right now
and depression.
With, right.
And we just kind of
want
to help.
And meaning and purpose. And,
yeah. And I thought we'd talk about it a little bit and what we've kind of.
I'm looking forward to that.
Maybe get a few insights.
That's right up my alley, you know.
It is. It is. So, yes, let's talk about what happened 15 years ago.
Well, I just want to, you know, give an homage, because we were building the house that we live in on September 11th.
Right.
And so it was just under construction, and we had sold the house that we were living in. So at that moment, we were homeless.
Mm-hmm.
We had no place to stay when 9/11 struck. And the closest thing that we went that was we have a state park, Loudoun State Park, and they have one little tiny cabin
mm-hmm.
that we begged them, could we rent it? All it was bunk beds, I think.
Right.
And there was no plumbing, or did it even have electricity?
Yeah, electrical,
or something?
Yeah,
I think it did.
It did.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we were in there.
Right.
And really felt very vulnerable
mm-hmm.
during the 9/11 thing. I think you and I at that moment, I think we were at Menards, weren't we as well?
I heard initially.
Do you remember where you
yeah,
were?
Yeah, no, I know exactly where I was. I mean, you're right in a lot of respects what was going on. We were building a house. We were literally just closing that day on the old house. So right. we're under construction and we're heading to Menards to get lumber because we were building the house.
Right.
We had contractors and
right.
and we're hearing on the radio what's going down. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, this is very, you know, and,
yeah.
and it was interesting because we didn't have the TVs at that moment.
No.
Because we didn't have, you know, we were literally without a house.
Right.
And so hearing on the radio and being connected to that and just feeling like what
is going on.
What's going on.
Yeah.
And
there was no, it was interesting because we usually see planes in the sky.
Yeah.
And there was no planes in the sky.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling like, what's the one thing I can do? Because I felt very vulnerable.
Right.
And I remember saying, we must fill up our gas tank.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea if there
we
would
have
be
gas or whatever.
I just didn't. And so
no
we,
one
the
did.
First thing that we did.
Because you had four planes that day.
Right.
You had the one tower, then the second tower, then the Pentagon, then the flight that just, you know, fell from the sky, basically.
Right.
And I don't, we're not here to talk about conspiracies or anything like that, but it really is about everybody had, if you weren't in New York or right next to this, you had just this huge amount of like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And feeling completely vulnerable
right.
and scared,
right.
plus angry. And then as the time goes by, you feel very patriotic and loving your country.
Yeah. But
as you just
I felt numb that
numb.
Day. I was just numb.
Yes. It was a horrible time.
Yeah.
And sometimes you forget that, well, like right now, there are young adults,
we were just
15 years old,
that.
Who've never
in
even.
High school.
Yeah, they didn't grow up
knowing
seeing
it.
Yeah. They know about it, but it's not activated in their souls.
No.
I remember your nieces and nephews, or one is getting their master's and the other one is in college. And I remember after 9/11, about 6 months after 9/11, they were going to go on vacation. And being younger kids, the little girl goes, I don't want to fly. You know, and so they changed their plans because she was too petrified to fly.
Right.
And you think, you know, that was probably, like, she was probably the youngest
mm-hmm.
that really internalized it.
Right.
And was affected by it.
Right.
And so kids now in high school, even entering college, they really don't have that connection
no.
the way we do, that it really has framed our life.
Right.
And it still frames my life in the sense of,
yeah.
you know, well, do I want to be here?
Right.
You know, do I want to go there?
Right.
And it's interesting because there was the Oklahoma bombing years before that. I think it was in the 90s, Oklahoma bombing.
I think so, yeah.
Which was homegrown terrorists.
Right.
I don't feel the same way. That didn't affect me as much as 9/11
yes, yeah.
did. Yeah.
I mean, it's like one of those like iconic moments that you'll always remember exactly
right.
where you were.
Right.
I mean, you remember where you were when you heard the OJ verdict.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were when you heard Elvis died?
Right.
I mean, there are just certain, I mean, I'm not correlating it, but do
no,
you know
no,
what I
you,
mean?
You're right. There are situations that frame your
that
life.
You go, oh, I remember exactly where I was at.
Right.
At that moment, yeah.
And I think they're blurbs that somehow, you know, take you from your daily, not monotonous, but kind of overplaying life,
right.
you know,
yeah.
to boom, this is something that's interesting happening
yes.
and so forth.
Yeah.
But it's interesting right now, I'm reading this book and it's just a quick, complete coincidence. And it's about releasing stress, anxiety, and depression. And it was written 6 months to a year after 9/11 because they're referencing a lot of 9/11.
Oh, okay.
Totally off, just a coincidence why I'm reading this book now.
It is interesting.
And so now, and how really how fear is the underlying current of all of it.
Right.
And how you have to capture those thoughts of fear
right.
and push away the temptation of going deeper into that fear.
You do.
Yeah.
I can remember we worked for Menards at that time. And I was in, I had during, I think, the week after or whatever, I was waiting for you or something in the back of the van. And during those days, I would buy rags,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
and just to, you know,
yeah.
to go through the rags. And I had the radio on, and that they were saying that there had been, that somebody had put, what was the potter? Was it?
Anthrax
in one of the rags. Oh, and I'm sitting there listening to the radio, and I'm reading a red.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, just like a lump in my throat going, oh, my God. And really within like a minute, there was jets flew over and broke the sound barrier.
Right, right, right.
And it was a huge, huge explosion. And I looked out the window, and like just people were just coming out of Menards. Like
what's going
what's
on?
What's going on? Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
So it was, you know.
Everybody was in a heightened
Everything
alert.
Was heightened, hypervigilant.
Yes. And that lasted a long time where we were just, everybody was on edge.
Yes.
And I remember when they broke the sound barrier that day because
you
called me.
I called you, yeah.
And I was with a delivery and I'm like, oh.
But we said something to each other. I can't remember.
I said, just stay where you're at. I'll come find you.
Yeah. You said, should I come to you? And you said, I'll come to you or something.
And I said, don't you come to me. Just stay where you're at. I'll come find you.
You'll come find
me. You know. And
we used to have like a code place too, like after that, like where we would, if we all got lost or we separated, where we would eventually go meet.
Yes. It's interesting because we do all this and I remember how much anxiety and provoking it was and depression, but how focused everything was around that.
I mean, yes.
That was a huge distraction in everyone's life for so long. It consumed all of our lives.
Right.
And during this time when I see like where the refugees are at in Europe and these camps, and I feel just complete compassion for them and sadness.
Right.
And yet, because I can't imagine how you continue to live day in and day
out.
Like,
that's their daily life, whereas we were homeless for, like, you know, probably 3 weeks or so.
Right. I don't even know how long we were homeless.
I really don't know
It was
either.
A week, I think, because I don't think it was...
Well, I'm saying homeless only because we lived in that cabin. But then we moved... Did we move into this house then?
No, we moved into a camper.
Oh, we bought a camper. That's right.
We had... While we were
that's
building,
right.
you
we bought
a piece of land in a campsite. You know,
right.
like one of those...
Like, yeah.
I don't know what you call it. You know, like a year-round campground.
Like, yeah, that's what we did.
And then we had put gravel down, but we didn't have a camper at that moment.
No.
And then as soon as we... And we couldn't do it all, meaning it was hard to build the house, close the house. Oh, and let's find a camper to
live.
Buy
a piece of land.
Buy a piece of land.
Get a
which
camper.
We got on auction.
Yeah.
I remember that day, too. I remember this one woman...
I know.
...was bidding everybody up, and I thought, you...
She was a shill.
...are a shill, yeah. And I remember you said, do not go higher than $1,500 for this piece of property. And it ended up being at $1,500.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, could you at least set out $800 or something like that?
Say, Mom, please.
Yeah, don't say $1,500. And so,
but at least we weren't homeless then. We had that. That was a nice camper, actually.
It was great. Had two bump outs.
Yeah.
It was older, but it was perfect.
It was great.
Yeah, they brought it there. And then as soon as our house was done, we sold it.
Yeah, within that week.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was perfect. And we called it, we didn't call it a tiny house, but it was our tiny house.
It was a tiny house.
Yeah, and it's funny because now living tiny is so cool.
Yeah, I was watching it yesterday, Tiny House, and this couple had a very small budget of like $12,000. And so the lady, you know, shows them these, like, you know, 64 square feet or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she takes them to a camper, and they're, like, their jaws just, like, drop. And they go, what, Elaine? Why are you showing us this? This is a camper. Hello.
Hello.
What do you think your tiny houses are?
It's a camper.
They're on.
It's just camper with siding.
I know.
I mean, you put some siding on a camper, and it's a tiny house, but actually nicer.
Exactly.
More room. I know, it is so funny.
Sometimes I just want to go, I'm the great and powerful Oz, and I must take the veil off your eyes. It's a camper. Tiny houses.
I remember you had...
Soylent Green is people.
You were talking to a good friend of yours, and she was talking about her boyfriend. And
that's right.
And she had mentioned that he lives, like, in a camper.
Well, she said he lived in an RV.
RV. And you go, he lives in a camper. And you go,
No, Christine. Marie,
not a camper.
He does not live in a camper.
He has an RV.
He's a retired lawyer, and he lives in an RV.
Okay. And guess what? I'm telling you right. I mean, let's just, you know, poop is still poop.
Exactly.
You know. And
whatever you call it.
Yeah. And I'm not, I mean, I think campers.
You can still transplant it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's what I wanted to say.
What?
Weeks ago, I wanted to talk about things you thought for sure never existed or could exist.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you find out they do exist. And
yeah, it's, you're like, life-changing. You're joking, right?
Someone told me about, you know, fecal transplant. And right. I said, that is so not true.
Yeah.
That
you trashed them.
I was on their case. I go, you are so lying to me, right? They're like, no. And I had to Google it, and it was true. They had been transplanting fecal matter into other people. Wow. And I just thought that was not appropriate. And then I find out that it's not just appropriate, but they're actually recommending people keep their poo at different ages so that if the older they get, they lose that bacteria. That they can transplant.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding.
Hello, Julie. Guess what?
I see an industry.
I see a business for us. The poop storage business. Oh, yeah. I guess we have to freeze it.
I guess. Or is it freeze dried? Or do they put it in a powder and then they do it? I wonder how it's done. Now, okay.
I got a business. Time out. Google.
Yeah.
Google poopstorage.com.
Okay. We'll do that. But I have to tell you, now my brain's getting, because I kept thinking, how are they transplanting this poop?
How are they?
And I kept thinking, because do they put like actual poop, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the way it looks up your butt?
Right.
And now I'm thinking they probably make it into a powder and then maybe mix it with water and give you an enema maybe.
Oh.
I'm guessing because I'm not totally sure of that. Or do they
I doubt that, Julie.
How do they do it then?
Well, maybe you're
right. And also, though, why do you need all...
So it has to come in through like an enema or something.
I mean...
What else? How else could it?
You're not going to eat it, are you?
No, I don't think it would hit... Would it?
I have no idea, but I am completely nauseous.
Yeah.
And so, but that is one thing in my life where I was 100% sure that this did not exist.
Yeah.
This did not exist. And
I was
wrong.
Can you imagine going to your doctor? I'm sorry, Julie, but you need a fecal transplant.
I'm like, what? My fecal ain't good enough anymore?
I don't want one.
I don't want someone else's shit. I got enough of my own. So... now I'm going to look more into it because now I'm just thinking it's all BS.
No, but Jill, cottage industry.
Yes.
Cottage industry. I see it.
I agree.
Some storage units, some laundromats, and some fecal matter
storage.
Storage. Yeah. Right along with the storage units.
Yeah. We store everything.
That's our tagline. Our brand.
We'll store everything and anything.
That's right.
Yeah. just let us know what you're needing. Do you need a freezer? Or airtight container? We don't care what you're storing. No. We don't ask questions.
We don't ask questions. We don't care what you're storing.
It's like the no-tell motel.
That's right.
You know, no-tell storage. That's our thing. That's our tagline. So anyway, before we move in on to Elliot's Corner, we like to share our Sherpa hats for movie reviews.
Yeah. Do you have our movie songs?
Nope. Because you didn't like it.
I'd still like to have some.
I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
I'm not going to play it right now.
Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. And see how many Sherpa hats.
There you go. There's our movie song. Yes. I don't have it. I can't just play it right now. So that's good.
So anyway, I saw Ted 2 last night.
And what'd you think?
The first 40 minutes were like, what? Wait, what? What am I seeing? You know, there were a few cute moments, a few, you know. But overall, I'd say maybe just like 1.5 Sherpa hats to 2.
I heard that Normano, your husband, loved it more than you did.
Yes, he did. He laughed out loud several times.
But it was too long.
It was way too long.
Yeah.
It was like 2 hours, which is like crazy.
30 minutes way beyond
It was strange because it was like they would break into these big dance numbers.
Oh, for heaven's sake!
Yeah, to make it longer, to stretch it. Why?
Yeah, why?
There was no reason for these.
Yeah, cut. This is what you want to tell directors. Hey, edit, and you really could have a tighter, funnier movie. I'd rather laugh for 30, an hour and 90 minutes, an hour and a half, than you'd be bored for an extra 30 to make it
100%.
Longer.
You know, some of your best stuff is in the editing.
Exactly. The tighter the movie, the funnier it is, and so
I think I'm going to say this for everything. almost everything in life can be edited.
100%.
To make it better.
I totally agree with you. Now, okay, so you get 1.5. Now, we always review older movies.
We're your girls that review the movies that have been out for a while.
Yes. So two movies I want to quickly review. I saw a little bit of Sisters on cable last night.
Sisters?
Tina Fey.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Disappointed when I saw that one.
Yeah, I'll give it. I only saw a little bit of it. I'll give it 2.5 Sherpas.
Okay.
There were some funny scenes in it.
Okay.
But I think I laughed more because I saw it literally at 1 in the morning. Because often I just couldn't sleep. I got home late last night, just couldn't sleep. And then but before that, I had watched Date Night on TBS, another Tina Fey movie. Do you remember that movie at all?
Yeah, I think I liked that one. Did I?
Oh my gosh, there were several scenes that I laughed.
Okay, good.
And
yeah.
Smiled.
Okay.
And I'm just like, I'm enjoying myself way too much, alone in the dark, watching Date Night. There was just a couple of scenes, but one scene that I laughed at, they had to put on a little dance show at a strip club, Tina Fey and Steve
Carell.
Carell.
Yeah.
And in front of this one guy who's a great character actor, he's supposed to be this DA that's really strict on crime, but he's really just this freak. And they're doing the robot. And I don't know why I found this so funny, but they're doing a really bad robot, and then they're roboting, like, sex movements. And then the guy, the DA, goes, "Oh, wow, sex robots. Awesome." And I was on the floor. I thought that was so funny. And so I'm going to give that 3 Sherpa halves. It's not 3.5. And that, because it just, it could be the right timing.
Right.
But it was an old movie, and there were several times I laughed.
So Date Night, 3 Sherpa halves.
Yes.
Sisters, 2.5.
Like, yes. And then yours,
Ted 2.
1.5.
1.5 to 2.
Can I say one more thing, too, about Date Night that I thought was funny? They're running away from the bad guys. It's all about a mistaken identity, right? And they hop into this boat, and they turn the engine on this boat, but it's just a little trolling engine. It's going.
I remember
and
that.
That was so funny.
That's great.
There were just several scenes. I go, this is a really well-written movie. And then of course, we see Mark Wahlberg in it with topless most of the time. And that was great.
He was in Ted 2 as well.
I know.
There's something about that dude. I don't know what it is, but there's something charismatic about him.
There is. And it's interesting because there was 2 movies I saw Tina Fey in and then 2 movies with Ted,
Mark Wahlberg.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. Very quickly, Greg, your brother, my son was telling me about a movie that he saw that I thought the concept was darling.
Yes.
And it's called Buddy Moon.
Buddy Moon, yeah.
And basically, and you think about this, this is so, two best friends, one of the guys is getting married, but his fiance leaves him at the altar.
Yeah.
And he still has his honeymoon paid for, so the two buds decide to go on it together. And hence the term
Buddy Moon.
But come on. He said it was a really funny movie.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. But just the idea that there's still that simple, easy, but fun concepts.
Right.
That haven't been thought of in the universe. Yes. And somebody did it.
Yes.
Come on.
I mean, how awesome
is that?
I'm
giving them 5 Sherpa hats just for the idea. Concept. Yeah.
Just for the title.
Yeah.
I remember way back when, I'm surprised it didn't. It was a little indie movie, that movie was, Greg said.
Buddy Moon, you mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I'm surprised it didn't get bought up by a bigger company.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember years ago, there was that rumor that this new screenplay got bought just from the title alone for like $2.5 million. Or
what was it?
Monster in Law.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And everybody's just like, that is the best title ever,
oh,
Monster in Law.
Gosh.
And, It was a fine movie.
It was an okay movie. Yeah.
But it got bought on that title alone.
Yeah.
I thought, isn't that interesting? It's sort of like when you have a really good name and people gravitate to it for some reason.
Like, I think Zomboys is an excellent name.
Yes, and you own that name.
Yeah, I just don't understand why.
You're not using it. You can't figure it out.
Why somebody hasn't said, can I buy that?
I think they have. You just said I don't want to sell it.
Well, I haven't sold it for, this was a while ago, but I decided not to sell it.
Yeah. Yeah, so,
Yeah.
They people want it.
How about it's time for Elliot's Corner?
Yes, a short one. I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner.
Well, there I was playing my little ukulele.
You are so good.
So anyway, here we are, Elliot's Corner. What we can learn from our pets and animals to help us have better lives. And it's interesting. Elliot,
don't chew on your paw.
Yes. Elliot has been struggling the last week.
Yeah.
And he gets this way. So, he likes to chew on his paws. And I don't know if because his paws hurt or if he's bored or they just itch. I don't know. But it's just been a chronic thing with him.
Yeah.
And I've taken him to the vet several times when this happens. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, he's just an overdramatic dog.
I'm getting a little tired of it.
Yes.
We take him to the vet. It's $65 to hear the verdict, the diagnosis. He's a drama queen.
Yes.
What?
Is that in your literature? Is that in your
vet book?
Yeah,
you went to school.
Book?
Right.
It says my dog's a drama queen?
Elliot Stabler Peters is a drama queen.
Yes. I don't know. But then I thought to myself, we have these two beautiful pin oaks in the front yard, and they are just dropping acorns like crazy. And I'm sure he hurt his paw on the acorns, you know.
Gotcha.
But aren't paws meant to walk outside?
Not Elliot's.
You know, aren't they meant for that? So, but it's interesting because I've given him this new product called
Dynavites.
And it's supposed to be like your probiotics and you're also your good essential fatty acids. And everything talks about, like, if your dog picks at his paws a lot, this will help correct that. The one thing I'm going to say about this, I don't know any results yet.
It's too soon,
but here's anecdotal information. He likes a taste.
And that's good because he's a picky eater.
Yeah. And so I'm like, well, heck, do you like a taste of this man?
Yeah.
You know, we'll keep going with it.
Yeah.
But I've been hanging out with another dog this week. Well, first off, it was nice because we brought over one of his best buds this week.
Yeah, Katie Lou.
And it's nice to see him play in the house, even though he was limping.
Yeah.
And I learned him, like, variety is a key to life.
Yes.
He has a great life.
Yes.
Our dog does. He has a great life.
He could have a greater life.
And can't we all?
Yeah.
We
but
keep
he's
improving.
The one that got kicked out of doggy daycare.
Yes. And so, but it is true, like, hey, we need to have variety in life. We need to socialize in life. Mm-hmm. And he was tired afterwards. He wasn't sad.
Yeah.
And so it just made me feel like, first, not like I don't want another puppy, first of all.
No.
It's not worth that.
Yeah, but Katie Lou can come over and hang with him for a while.
Yes.
They're best buds.
And the owner of Katie Lou is totally cool with that.
Yeah.
So I'm totally cool taking her.
Yeah.
It's funny because she's a black golden doodle.
Yeah.
A golden retriever mated with a black poodle.
Poodle, yeah.
And now she's a totally black golden doodle. And I find it just funny. And she just is the weirdest looking dog.
Yeah. She's cute in a homely way.
Yeah, she's cute in a homely way.
Yeah, or homely in a cute way.
Yeah, because you're looking at her and you're going, what are you about?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at her, I'm like, you're kind of cute.
Yeah, but she's got a great personality.
And I'll tell you what the best thing is, when she comes over and hangs with Elliot, I've got two dogs that don't shed. They do not shed. And
yes.
I'm just like, this is awesome.
Heaven, I'm in
they can be on top of me. I don't care. They don't shed.
Yeah.
And it just feels awesome.
Isn't that great?
Oh, I will never get
another
sheds.
Never again. Yeah.
Never.
Now that I know that there's doggies out there that don't shed.
Exactly.
Why?
Exactly.
Why?
So I'm just like, yay. And so I was also hanging out with another dog who does shed. And I came home and just my nose was itching and so forth. But I really felt bad in some ways because this dog is not a year old yet. And it's a little tiny mutt. It looks kind of like a wiener dog mixed with a miniature Doberman Pinscher. You know, real pointy ears and kind of that face.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sweet as can be. But she is completely, like, in sync with her owners in the sense, like, she understands them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she can't come out of the crate unless they tell her to. And the crate's always open, but she doesn't come out. And she'll try and come. And goes, no, 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 ma'am. You stay in there. And she kind of squeams back in. And you're like,
wow.
Oh, man.
Man.
Yeah.
Elliot would just, like, really?
Exactly. Exactly. And so And then, of course, the owner was like, you know, because when she gets out of the crate, she has to go right outside the back door to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, don't touch her yet because she has to go outside the bathroom. You know, it was like Pavlov's dog. You know, when she leaves the crate, she goes to the bathroom out and back.
And I'm like, okay, you don't explain Pavlov's theory to me. I appreciate that. I do know this theory. Yeah. But I just felt, because our dog's not that well trained.
No. No, Julie just follows him around with a bag under his butt.
Like, he's really well trained me. But I also don't feel he's excited about.
No.
Like, he'll play with me for about 5 or 10 minutes and he's done.
Yeah.
This little girl just plays and plays and plays. And she'll play with one of those red dots, you know, like a laser dot.
Oh, will she?
She'll try and chase the laser dot.
Oh, my gosh. We've never tried that with Elliot.
I don't think it'll work. But. Mm-hmm.
I'd go like, well,
yeah, thanks.
I'd rather smoke a cigarette.
Yeah. I'd rather mate with a pillow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he loves.
All dogs are different. Just, that's what I'm learning this week.
Could that be like all people are different?
Yes, exactly. So if I was going to say what we learned from our dog today,
yes,
this week, it is variety is nice. You know, invite a friend over. You're feeling kind of bummed?
Low? Yeah.
Invite a friend over. Play some cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hang out.
Smoke a cigar.
Yeah. Even if you don't feel like it. Because sometimes the hassle of it feels like, oh, no, I got to make something then. And I don't want to. It's weird what, and this is going to go right into our pillar talk right now. Mm-hmm. But it's weird how your emotional state, which we talk about, is so important.
Yes.
Can prevent you from doing the things that would make you feel better.
I know.
When you're feeling anxious or depressed, the last thing you want to do is hang out with friends.
Right.
And yet, that would be the best thing for you, is to get out of yourself.
Right.
And be in the present moment. Right. But are you ready to talk about pillar talk a
little
bit?
I would love to.
Okay, here we go. Pillow talk. Pillow talk. Pillar talk.
Thanks, Doris.
Yes.
Pillow talk.
So we're talking about pillar talk. We're talking about, we call it pillar talk because it's the things that affect each pillar of our lives.
There's
right?
lots of pillars.
We have your physical, we have your
social,
your financial, your career,
mental, emotional.
Yes. Some people call also your charity work, your service work. Mm-hmm. That can be a pillar sometimes.
Sure.
It is family relationships, things like that. And your emotional state affects every one of your pillars. And in so many ways, this is our journey in life, is to how do we take control of our emotional state?
Mm-hmm. At the very least, manage it.
Manage it. And different, I guess, I don't know how, I'm missing the word in my brain. I can't think of the word. But from a psychologist's point of view, you would tend to think of it differently than a psychiatrist's point of view, than a coach's point of view.
True.
And you could deal with it in different ways. And sometimes, if you're struggling, you got to keep finding a path that is best suited for you, and you may not find that path right away. Mm-hmm. My whole life, because you were going to school when I was growing up to become a psychotherapist, and you were reading the thought leaders back then, the 80s and the 90s and so forth, I've always been programmed to believe, and I do believe that you really are in control of your emotional thoughts, and that you can choose better and better thoughts. And that's kind of your goal. Living that way, when I get depressed or sad, I feel those feelings, but then I try, okay, I can choose to feel a better thought. Let's reframe this. We came across this quote this last couple of weeks, which we love, which is, if you're focused on the past, that tends to make you depressed.
Right. Or if you're depressed, it means you're focusing on the...
Oh, sorry. If you're depressed...
It means you're focusing on the past.
And if you're anxious,
you're probably focusing on the future.
And the best thing to do is to focus on the present moment.
The now.
And we've been getting
Where you can stay in peace.
Where you can stay in peace. We get clues about, through all these different theories of thought, that staying in philosophy, staying in the present moment, is the way to real emotional health.
Right.
Because every moment in it has a glimpse of the past and the future. And all you have is this present moment. Tony Robbins, when he was being interviewed by Oprah, was talking about, he said, not excited.
Passionate?
Or? No, something even more, is an E word. Have ecstasy in each moment. I'm like, ecstasy?
Whoa,
really?
Really?
Tony Robbins?
Excuse me, Tony.
I'm bowing down to you. Yeah. I am not worthy. I just thought that was a very strong word.
Yeah.
No matter, and he said, no matter how many people I help, I cannot, I won't ever be happy. I need to be able to, in this every given moment, choose to feel ecstasy, or at least the capability of it. Not that he can always feel that way, but if he needs to be able to get there. And through that, he does that through gratitude and changing your state.
Right.
And we know that when the walls are coming down, you can truly choose to find that moment, a level of peace through gratitude. What can I be thankful for at this moment? Look around. And it could be things, and it should be small things, such as,
you know, yes,
the way a tree looks.
Right.
I see a bird, the way my dog loves me. You know, whatever it is, mm-hmm. my family, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Or even if you're like, I'm grateful I got a paycheck every week. There are people out there that don't. I'm right. grateful to have a home.
Right.
You know, I'm grateful that I have a home in the Midwest, because this home would be worth $1 million in New York City, you know, or $10 million in New York City.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there are ways that you can start feeling better now. And that's our job in right. so many ways.
Right.
We can't control a lot of stuff. We can do the habits to have a successful life. We can put money aside and invest it year after year after year. We can build our businesses. We can take care of our bodies. And in so many ways, we are still left to
the vagaries of life.
Yes. And so we still have to choose, how can we still
right.
have ecstasy?
Have ecstasy in the moment when the sky is falling.
Right. And we know with Buddhist talk, being in the moment
right.
is everything. With meditation, being in the moment with the breath
yes.
is everything.
There's that one Buddhist cone about this monk. He's being chased by a tiger, and he's running, and he's running toward a cliff. Mm-hmm. And at the moment that he's about ready to go up the cliff, or the tiger is going to eat him or whatever, he sees this beautiful strawberry, and he stops everything just to pick that strawberry and taste the most delicious. And that's what, you know, it means that no matter what is going on,
yes,
tigers may be chasing you, may be running off a cliff, but not stop to take that bite of that
beautiful
strawberry.
And you have been saying that Normano has been one guy, and Elliot, he'll do the same, that smells the flowers.
Right.
They take time to smell the flowers.
They do.
And it's interesting because in the Bible it talks about, as well, don't look to the left, don't look to the right, stay focused on me, and there you will find peace.
Right, there you go. Just look straight ahead.
Just keep looking straight ahead. Yeah. And then you go, okay, it takes practice.
It takes. How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Practice. That's right. And so we have to say, don't feel guilty about this.
No.
Don't feel like you're not good enough.
Right.
It takes practice, and you'll never get there. It's one of those things where your whole life you will strive to feel better and better and better. And as we get older, one of the things that's been coming through the last couple days is this thing that people are really feeling anxious mm-hmm. and depressed about their lives the older they get.
Yeah, even well, we had somebody in our family
right,
who's had some, I mean, very strong person. Actually had to check themselves into the psych ward.
Yeah, because he was feeling completely anxious and depressed at the same time
right.
about the future.
Right.
And, you know, he's older, and it doesn't even matter how old you are.
No.
It's almost like you must tend to it more and more the right. older you get.
And also, too, you know, you do go through different life stages.
Yes.
And each stage calls for a different blueprint,
right?
Archetype,
right?
In which to live in, you know.
And
what worked for you at 20 may not work for you at 60,
for sure. And how do you?
I mean, really, how much retail therapy can you have? You know.
Well, for me, none. I mean, I've kind of nothing turns me on anymore.
Right.
I was listening to the radio, and a woman called up and said, I'm just struggling right now because I have a job. And she probably sounded like she was in her 50s, maybe a little older. She goes, but nothing interests me. I don't have a hobby that interests me. I don't have anything that just grabs me and says, I live for this. You know, my kids are grown and, you know, nothing really interests me.
Right.
I think a lot of people are there.
I was watching CNN and they were interviewing Trump's daughter, Ivanka or whatever. And she was saying, when we were growing up, all I remember my dad doing it was saying, find what you're passionate about and then do that. You know, and I was sort of, you know, doing this movement, right?
Yes.
Because the,
and that
you
movement
know,
is it's your hand grasping, grasp up and down really fast.
Yeah. Jerk-off movement.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I love the thought about that. And but, you know, a lot of us don't have the luxury.
Well, I think it's funny because he...
Go ahead.
Because what she does is she just sells...
Scarves.
Scarves and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So is that her passion?
Yeah.
To purchase scarves from, you know, not
China,
and then sell it to American people, and sometimes they're not up to quality.
Yeah.
Was that her passion?
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'm not...
I don't want to knock her.
I'm not knocking it either. But I'm just saying, though, that it's kind of... Do you remember the book, Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow? I mean, in essence, it's really true. But many of us, you know, get out of school with $50,000 in student loans and take the first job that comes along.
Right, to start off with.
To start
and then
paying
you're kind of
the,
in a path. But also, you told me my whole life, too, follow your passion. And, you know, like, that all worked out except, you know, what is my passion?
Right.
Many people don't really know what their passion is.
Well, right, exactly.
Or we have a lot of things that interest us, but then so what?
Right.
Or you find your passion, and then guess what? The career changes.
100%.
I remember.
And also, I consider myself, literally, I consider myself a householder.
Right.
That's my passion. I care about my household. I care about my family. It's my passion to see that everybody in my, everything and every, you know, is taken care of.
Right.
You know, from, you know, the guy that does the yard work to the lady that, you know, helps us, you know, I mean, I want to take care of my household. That's my passion. I feel it's my duty.
Well, it's funny because that household goes out another circle.
Yes.
Because you also care for the people that can help you care for yourself.
I do.
Here's an example. So we had our dog groomer, for one thing.
Yes.
They end up buying our camper.
Right.
And then they end up totaling it.
Within a month or two.
And luckily they were okay, and their dogs that were, you know, everything was okay.
Good, yeah.
But it was interesting because they needed help because they didn't have any pictures for the insurance company. So they called us back and saying, you don't by chance have any pictures. And so because we care for people who care for us.
Right.
I think I spent an hour searching for
pictures for them
through
so that they could get insured.
Yeah, so they could get the money they deserved for
insurance.
Yeah. And same thing with the guys who do our lawn. Like, we always give them tips.
Yes.
I mean, that has been your purpose in some sense.
Right.
That's how it's been for us.
Yes. Well, it's interesting because she called back and said, thank you so much for the pictures. A free haircut for
Elliot. We're like, we'll take it.
Okay, we'll do it.
Yeah, well, there.
Thank you.
I could use a little trim, I said. Then she goes, oh, no, for your dog. I'm like, oh, all right, I think you could use trim, too. I guess that'll work.
But that's how I like the world to work.
Yeah.
You know, the things that you, people that you can touch.
Yes. This is where we keep going deeper and deeper, and this is going to be a longer discussion, because I want people to start having more interest in their lives because they're interested in this one moment.
Right.
And as we wrote a quote, we replayed a quote in our Facebook page, and it was a quote about, no longer have the past, you don't have the future.
Yesterday is already a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today well lived makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. And that's the quote that got really my most Facebook hits ever.
And that quote...
And said, may I share?
And we say yes. But that quote is everything about living in the moment.
Yes.
Everything. It stops the depression when you're focusing on, if you have depression from focusing on the past,
right,
which you can't control anyway.
No, you can't.
And the anxiety about the future, mm-hmm. I only have this moment. And how can I live this moment mm-hmm. to the best for me? We are so hard on ourselves sometimes because, well, I'm not doing a lot. There are people who just meditate daily mm-hmm. and they feel that they're giving, this is the right thing for them.
That's their service to
the
world.
That's their service. You don't have to do anything but tend to yourself. Mm-hmm. And by tending to your emotional state, you are bringing to the world a good thing.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, if we all tended to our emotional state, there'd be less violence, less crap.
And just, I just, you made me think about my mom, like my parents, if they had tended to their emotional states, we could have had a happy family.
Right.
Just, yeah. Or even 50% happy family.
For sure.
But because they didn't, they were swinging around their depression, their anger, their disappointment. I mean, the kids, we were sponges.
Yeah, exactly.
And to, you know, to overcome that is a lifetime dealio.
Right, for sure. For sure. It is. And, you know, I was into the radio again, and Kathy and Judy, who, you know, they're...
We kind of model ourselves after them.
A little bit. And then Judy mentioned that she was dealing with depression for mm-hmm. a long time, mm-hmm. and she has clinical depression, and she tweaks her medication mm-hmm. here and there. Mm-hmm. And she goes for sometimes 6 months to a year of just not feeling good and then pretending that it's all okay. Mm-hmm. So it seems no matter who you are, what quote unquote, what money you have saved for your retirement,
right.
if you don't have to work or if your body's still okay, it still doesn't matter because everybody out there, we struggle with our emotional state mm-hmm. and don't beat yourself up over it. That's the worst thing you can do.
You're absolutely right. It's like we have this amazing capacity for self-awareness. However, we don't use it to our advantage. We use it to beat ourselves up.
Right.
Oh, or we measure ourselves too harshly.
Right.
You know, as opposed to just having this amazing capacity for self-awareness and feeling bliss from it.
Right.
Or feeling, like Tony Robbins would say, the ecstasy
right.
of that.
Yes. So this week, you know, maybe set your clock for like noon every day or 1 o'clock every day and just say, hey, how can I in this moment feel the best I can feel? I can tell you in the past, I'm sure that I've struggled with anxiety and gone to nibbling on food, you know, or watching TV when I could have been or should have been doing something different, but was resisting it mm-hmm. or feeling anxious about it. And how, one thing Tony Robbins talks about, and we talk about this too in our book, The Clutterfly Effect, when you were at a state of gratitude, of positivity, of hope, mm-hmm. of faith, you make better decisions. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you're making crazy decisions where like, yeah, let's just go buy the biggest house and we can mm-hmm. afford it because we're going to do really great. Mm-hmm. No, but you come to better and better decisions mm-hmm. because you're coming from a place of not fear,
right.
but love.
I love that term, anchored to hope.
Yes, me too.
To this week, be anchored to your hope.
For sure, for sure.
And that from there, you could make solid decisions, solid choices.
Yes.
For better and better emotional states.
And if I could just say one thing, which I've said a lot today, I hope some of it makes sense, is that I would like you to feel loved. Love because know that we love you. If you're listening to the show, we love you.
I love
you. I love
you. I love you, Julie.
I love you, Mama. And love yourself. Love someone else because that's truly all there is yeah. love.
Learning to love yourself is the greatest love. I believe the children are.
Yeah, the children are our future.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll keep paying their Social Security. their Social Security taxes, please. All right, everyone, thank you for listening to Life with Girlfriends. Hey, yes. And by the way, go to our website, ChristineMarieAngeli.com. And Mama, how was the show?
Oh, as always, it was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.